Blog Talk Radio.
And we're going to start by... We're not really going to do this show today. Everyone, it sounds like we're having Dr. Oz with us. There we go. We're going to be starting again with the pet show. They all
want to
go
to
outside.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Join us on Thursday as we explore Pet Health and Homeopathy, a show co-hosted by Homeopathy World Community founder and homeopath Debbie Bruck and Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, author and homeopath Christina Chambreau. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your questions. Let's go!
And we're live, Blog Talk Radio, with Dr. Christina Chambreau today, talking about pets and their health and your health. So we're going to get started with with information about fleas. Is this the time of year when fleas are out?
It is the time to start preparing for fleas. And because we had no winter weather, we're already seeing ticks. And fleas,
for those people living in the eastern,
right,
east coast,
in the sort of northeast coast area
in the United States, because we perhaps could have listeners anywhere in the planet, and I don't know what type of weather they have. It could be hot or could be still winter. I don't
know.
That's
right. Absolutely. It also could be dry where there's not as many fleas in dry conditions, or it could be very wet, where you're more likely to see a lot of fleas, like Florida and Georgia. But fleas are pretty ubiquitous around the world, so it's something that everybody does struggle with. A lot of people, there are a number of homeopathic treatments that are proposed on a regular basis for fleas and ticks, but
mm-hmm.
That doesn't usually work. And the reason for that is, again, the best way for homeopathy to work is Hahnemann's like cures like. So if you think that there is a homeopathic remedy for fleas, that then begs the whole question of individuality.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's saying then that every dog and every cat who gets fleas needs this homeopathic remedy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can say that, and that would be like treating a classroom of children who have head lice and just give them all sulfur, because sulfur is good for lousiness. And the truth is, it might help some of them, because homeopathic remedies can generally stimulate your vital force. It's sort of like giving your vital force a little disease. And so it's like pushed, and then it can start healing itself. And when the vital force is healthy, fleas and ticks and lice and stuff on people and animals go away. So that's the... I think that's why sometimes people say you can give this homeopathic remedy and it cures this problem in everybody. So, like,
because there's a large number of the population will be affected. Is that why?
No, because a homeopathic remedy, even if it's not the specific or the similimum or even a close similimum to the person, each homeopathic remedy stimulates the vital force. And so when the vital force is stimulated, it can become healthier. James Kent, for instance, our famous homeopath of 1900, said that you should take a homeopathic remedy, even if you were a healthy person and not under homeopathic treatment, that it was good to take a remedy every now and then, once a year or more, because it would just trigger your vital force. It would sort of pump your vital force to sort of like working a muscle a little bit. And like I say, it's similar to getting a disease. So if you're not susceptible at all to that remedy, it's way far off, maybe nothing will happen. But if you have some susceptibility to that remedy, it's sort of like doing a mini proving, but you're not taking it long enough to produce symptoms. Does that make sense?
Yes. I'm wondering how you would compare this to the medical community giving us vaccinations, and they're giving us all one thing. Is that a similar concept?
Well, it's more like, I mean, it's true for anything, whether it's vaccination, vitamin C, antibiotic, or Prozac. If everybody is given the same thing, it works for some people and not for all people.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference there is I do suggest taking a remedy every now and then. There's nothing wrong with just trying a remedy, but there is something wrong with just every now and then getting a vaccine. It can cause damage.
Right, and the difference is the ethereal form of the potentization of our remedies as compared to putting in some heavy-duty chemicals into the body?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, we're toxifying ourselves. We're forcing our body to respond to a material dose of something that could easily be toxic if it's formaldehyde or MSG or any of the other ingredients.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay.
The difference there, again, there would be no purpose in taking, no usefulness would come from taking 3 days of an antibiotic. If you weren't sick, taking 3 days of an antibiotic or getting a shot of anything isn't really going to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Except possibly poison you. But taking a dose of a remedy, of a homeopathic remedy, because it's operating on the energy system of the body, on the quantum level of the body, on the ethereal system of the body, taking a homeopathic remedy stimulates your vital force, which then can make you healthier. And it's not going to cause any, you know, damage to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, and back to where we were originally talking, is that there really, people talk about giving Pulex, which is made from fleas, to animals or to people to have fleas not get on your animals. Well, that's not going to happen.
So we are going to learn some better ways.
Right. You don't want to think about using homeopathic methods to prevent fleas from getting on an animal or to get rid of fleas. What you want to do is, number one, in terms of fleas, healthy dogs and cats don't have fleas. That's just, now occasionally they will, but in general, if you're healthy, you won't get a lot of fleas. You might get a flea or two that hop on and then they hop off, but fleas really don't like the taste of healthy animals. And that's why often when people use garlic, brewer's yeast, some herbal things like that, fleas often will not be there because they really don't like the smell. It does get into the body. And So getting them healthy is the most important thing. And to do that is go back and listen to all of the talks we've done. Look at the early warning signs of an internal imbalance. Things like goop in the corner of the eyes. Like during the winter and early spring before the fleas have come out, you want to be thinking about how healthy is my dog or cat? Is there goop in the corner of the eyes? Am I having to give a bath frequently? Were they stiff during the cold winter? Are they getting stiff now that the weather got warm? So you want to be paying attention to building the health. And the seven keys to building the health, some of them include not vaccinating, except for the legally required rabies, feeding a fresh whole food diet as much of the time as you can, and treating any symptoms that appear as gently as possible and triggering the animal to heal themselves. So those are just the basics that we've talked about in other talks. Now, the other thing to do at this time of year is to start getting ready for the fleas. One of the products that is good to get hold of right now is something called a shoe tag. S-H-O-O, and we've had a little flurry on our homeopathic veterinary website, our listserv about that, and because Norado, who's this really wonderful animal intuitive down in North Carolina, sent out her newsletter talking about doing getting ready and for the season and ordering these. So I put out a little blurb to see what people's response was. And basically there are two types of shoe tags. One comes in, and they put out just a little energetic vibration, but it's not a negative. It's not like smart meters or Wi-Fi or microchips or anything like that. But they put out like a quartz crystal would, just this little bit of a vibration that seems to prevent infestation by fleas. It doesn't necessarily get rid of it once you have a lot. So that's why this time of year is a good time to get them. But interestingly enough, most people on the listserv who had felt they didn't work well were using plastic ones. And the ones that said they do work well were using metal tags. So that is something. Look for metal shoe tags.
S-H-O-O. With an exclamation point and then the word tag, and it says for fleas.
Actually, the website doesn't have the exclamation point. The website is just shootag.com.
I see. Okay.
Even and though the commercial has the label has the
exclamation point
on it.
And you're saying that there's no harmful chemicals, it's odor-free, waterproof, safe for pets, people, and the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an electromagnetic static field embedded in the magnetic strip. I see.
And so that makes you sort of scared because people, you know, those of us who are paying attention to the planet and to health of the planet, health, et cetera, we're concerned about electromagnetic kind of stuff.
Okay.
So it's like, oh, my goodness, we don't want that. We don't want a microchip. We don't want – so people are worried about that, definitely. But
you just put
it
on the collar.
Right.
You just attach it like as if it's
like
a
name tag.
Like an name
yep.
tag.
Okay. Now, what Norado said, which I really love and put in my blog, so also if people want to get updated regularly with little great tips about animals and animal health, people health, and planet health, you can go to my website, myhealthyanimals.com, and sign up for the RSS feed on the blogs, or just go to the blog once a week and check for new blogs that you haven't seen. So what Norado said, and I put into one of my blogs, is often she found that when the tag was hanging from the collar, that her dogs would catch it on something and maybe it would fall off. So she uses, I think she uses tape, or probably duct tape would be my guess. No, she sews it in. She has these nice cloth collars around her dog, and she just folds the shoe tag so it's going right along the collar and then sews a piece of cloth over it. So instead of hanging down and dangling, it's part of the collar. And she said it works equally as well that way.
I'm looking at the website. It looks like it's out of Australia, and they have one for humans and one for horses.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it's the same thing, just relabeled.
Yes, it is, or different sizes. And the people I know on the veterinary website, on the listserv that I was talking about, various ones, they just would put one around their neck and wear it like a necklace. Or put it on their, another one, put it on their belt.
It says it repels mosquitoes as well.
Right.
And that's something that we need to also be concerned with. Well, it would be interesting. It would be interesting to gather a large amount of data from people to see actually a comparison of people who are wearing them and people who are not wearing them and go to the same areas or outside at the same times.
Actually, even a better, one of the best things is when you have people who aren't wearing them and then they order them and they're doing the same things that they used to do and all of a sudden they don't have mosquitoes. Or all of a sudden they don't have, you know, their animals don't have fleas and ticks. Now, here's the thing. Because we know in homeopathy that everybody's an individual, we know going into this that it's going to work for some and not for others. So our goal is let's find the safest possible ways to prevent fleas and ticks that have the least environmental footprint, and we start with that. And then we just keep amping it up if we need stronger and stronger things. So the first place is work on basic health. Help the planet by buying your ingredients locally for you and your animals. Help the planet by not using petrochemical products made by the chemical industry funded by Monsanto and other corporations. So therefore, a shoe tag has, you know, it probably isn't 100% green because it is being mailed to you. But it's very small, it's very lightweight, it's not like ordering a bottle of Cedarside. Cedarside is great. It's another great tick and flea preventative. So that is cedarside.com, and it's an essential oil of cedar, and it many people report excellent results with it, but if you think about it, that's a big bottle of liquid that's being shipped. Now, it's concentrated because you mix it in a sprayer to do outside, but the shoe tag is less. So we want to be thinking about, and they're thinking environmental themselves. That was one of the reasons that they produced this. So it's one product. If that doesn't work, you go, okay, that one didn't work, let me try this one. That one didn't work, let me try this one. So
well,
now
that really makes sense. I mean, I always, you know, you think of a cedar chest and putting little pieces of cedar chips in your closet to keep the moths away. So
that's
now
right.
Using cedar in this way to protect us from, it's a pretty great idea.
For instance, there's another product that I picked up, and I haven't really tested this one. But again, in terms of looking at living lightly on the planet and that we're talking about cedar, it's the website is Nature Barrier, B as in boy, ARRIER.com. And it's 44%, but of the ingredients in it, citronella is the most at 1, lemongrass 52, and cedar 44. Clove 26, and then other oils in small amounts. So here's another way that cedar is being given to us. It comes, this must have been just a sample, but this came, it's a powder. I haven't opened it even, but it's like a little granular, and it comes in a little, my sample anyway, is in a nice little paper bag. And what you do is, like, if you're going out to sit on your deck, you sprinkle this on the ground before you sit down. And so they say it's good for, safe for kids, pets, use it for picnics, campsites, and yards, parties, mm-hmm. yard work, and relaxing. It repels mosquitoes, biting flies, ticks, fleas, gnats, and chiggers.
I always thought that citronella was a carcinogenic. Isn't it?
I don't think so. It's certainly been mm-hmm. used for
Yes, it has been.
A long time in the...
I know it's always been used, but I think a natural oil may contain methyl urogenol, which has been shown to be carcinogenic in animals. So I think that it has some toxicity into it. So Canadianawareness.org, I'm just looking up repellent, being ordered off the market for supposed toxicity. Oh, wait a minute. But it says, but DEET is just fine. DEET is not fine.
We know DEET is really bad. So here's right. what I have. The level of citronella oil, that's food.
Mm-hmm. So maybe it's one of those things that...
This is safety evaluation for food uses.
Mm-hmm. So we'd have to look into this a little bit more because...
But, however, here's the thing. Anytime I'm using essential oils, which basically that's what these are, this is a powder or granules that have been impregnated with essential oils, or mm-hmm. cedar side is cedar. Vetra Repel from Vetra Science has oils from herbs in the Amazon that are known to prevent... to repel. So all of these that are out there, you always want to be paying attention to your animals and looking for ways to apply them that are more gentle and so and safe. So if you were putting out if you were spreading this nature barrier and you were having a picnic,
mm-hmm.
You would spread it. It'd be down in the grass. It would be very unlikely that any dog would get enough quantity of that. They're not going to want to eat it anyway. They're not going to be sniffing their nose around to lick up every little piece of this.
Okay.
Because it's got cinnamon and peppermint and thyme and other things that they're just not going to like the taste of. And... if you had a wood floor that you were using it, you would put it in the cracks and the corners.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has some risk to it. Diatomaceous earth. If you use diatomaceous earth in your home for fleas, or you're putting fleas on diatomaceous earth on your animals to repel fleas, very, very common, very inexpensive, often very sick, very... used by lots and lots of people, but it is not 100% safe. Number one, mm-hmm. you have to be sure that you're using real diatomaceous earth and not pool filter diatomaceous earth, but instead getting it from a gardening store, because the pool filter kind has been burnt, and that is carcinogenic. But the regular diatomaceous earth is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And
depends on the source of your natural product. Where are you getting it from?
Exactly. But it's just how it's sort of like how it's made. And the bottom line is, if you buy it from a gardening place, you're fine with it. However, it is really powdery. And diatomaceous earth, the reason it works and the reason it's better than chemicals that fleas can adapt to and mutate to is it cuts their skin. I can remember, actually, in third grade, the first time I ever used a microscope was to look at diatoms. And they were these neat little geometric-shaped things, and they have sharp edges. And they literally cut the edges of the fleas, or if you're giving it internally for parasites. Many people with goats and chickens and pigs and other, and even some for dogs and cats will use it. And
this is very interesting. You have really gotten me very intrigued about all these different products and how we have them labeled danger or protection or carcinogenic is possibly because the testing that is done in the lab is not using the whole natural product but using an isolate. And that is what I'm learning right now about the citronella, that when you inject it into mice, then you're going to cause a toxic reaction, just like if you take something vaccine and inject it into a person, you're going to get a toxic reaction. And it's not the same thing as if you would normally smell the aroma in the air or lightly brush a small quantity on your skin or put it, sprinkle it around in the garden as a protective agent, making a barrier. So there's many ways of looking at these natural products, and how is the government or whoever's in charge defining it for us as safe or unsafe. It's really a fascinating area.
That's right. And so that may make people go, oh my God, I don't want to, what do I do? How do I know what's safe? And that's backing up to what I started with, which is to start with things that we think are totally safe, and then you have to watch your animal. It's all about paying attention to the early warning signs your animals are showing and then looking to see what might be causing the problem. Mm-hmm. And thinking about, once this problem started, when did it start? Essential oils in cats, the same thing. We have people who've used essential oils in cats for 30, 60 years, never had any problems. We have people who say that they're extremely toxic in cats and should never be used. And it's, once again, homeopathy. Bless Hahnemann's heart, he gave us the whole picture of how things work, and it's because we're all individuals. And each of us, and during our lifetime, it changes. We change. Our vital force changes. So sometimes we're super susceptible to something. I mean, the reason we do vaccines every year up until the recommendation 10 years ago, and many vets still are doing every year, is that two cats who'd been vaccinated as kittens for cat distemper, when they were 5 years old, they came down with cat distemper. So with no further research, they said, well, we'll have to just start giving the vaccine every year. Mm-hmm. Well, those cats had a super susceptibility to it, or something caused their vital force to become weak. So it's sitting back and looking at the whole animal and looking at, how are you going to be using these products? Are you coating the animal with it three times a day? So like with diatomaceous earth, apparently an inert product, but if you get really ambitious and you have a big dog and you've got a big bag of diatomaceous earth and you're spreading it all over the dog and working it in and getting it around, and there's this cloud of diatomaceous earth in the air, both the dog and you are breathing it. And over time, that could cause lung problems. So when you're using the diatomaceous earth, you want to be careful about it. If you're really de-infesting a house and you're spreading a lot of diatomaceous earth everywhere, it's a good idea to keep the dogs, do half the house or three quarters of the house, and keep animals and people in the other half for 24 hours. And then swap and vacuum it all up, and then swap and keep the and do that side. And then you come back and you put diatomaceous earth down in the corners. You put it in the cracks of the floor. You put it under the couch cushions. You put it in places where the dogs and cats and infants aren't going to be just sniffing it up all over the place. But it's not like it's dangerous and it kills. It's if it's used improperly. And like you say, the same thing with like the citronella lemongrass cedar oil. If it's used properly and not overused. Cedar side's going to kill good bugs as well as bad bugs if you spray it on the lawn to keep ticks and fleas away. So you have to think, is that a product I want to use in this area? Maybe I want to spray this area where my dogs love to hang out, and it's pure dirt at this point. I'm going to keep that soaked with cedar side. But I'm not going to spray the rest of my weedy area that has great weeds for the dogs to eat, because I want bugs to be there. So it's always looking at the whole picture and realizing again and again that when you see a weed or an infestation of bugs in your yard or on your animals, it's an indication of poor health. So if you see something that you're calling a weed or a bad bug, it's just that the conditions are right for it to be there. There's this wonderful, funny flea book that I can't even think of the guy's name. Chip Sammons, S-A-M-M-O-N-S. And I'll have to look at my flea handout to see what the name of it is now. But it is the funniest book. And he's talking about, he starts off with this Francis, the fetching flea, is sucking up this wonderful blood that she loves, then this dog who has, she's getting lots of good blood and really having a good time. And then along comes Freddy. And Freddy came from 50 light years away. That's three houses away. And Freddy and Francis are exchanging love notes about how life is. And she asked why he came so far. And he says, oh, they started feeding their dogs raw food, and that blood got so healthy, I couldn't stand the taste of it. So I've come up to your house so I can eat bad blood. I like unhealthy blood.
Sounds like a vampire.
Well, wow. That's what fleas are. They are vampires, aren't they?
Well, they're talking to each other. They're telling them where the best food is.
Right.
Giving them directions.
But the main point to that is that what they like is not healthy animals. The name of the book is Flea Control, A Holistic and Humorous Approach. And then the subtitle is Sex, Romance, Intrigue, and Practical Ways to Kill Fleas.
Great.
So it's really funny to start with. But his main point is if you get them healthy, the fleas just don't like the blood. So that's the thing to be thinking about. Now, of course, if you go to the beach and you're renting a house that had a flea-infested dog in it, in an area, the beach, that tends to have a lot of fleas, and nobody's been in the house for 2 or 3 weeks, when you come in with your dog, you and the dog are going to be covered with fleas, even if the dog is healthy, because they're just sitting there waiting for the motion and the vibrations and the smells to start. They're hungry. So you may have to do a flea bath, or you may have to do something at that point. Now, the shoe tag may be enough or not enough for that. So again, you'll have to have other options. So let's back up a little bit here and just do some basic flea stuff. So fleas, the few live fleas you see on your dog are just a tip of the iceberg. If you see live fleas and see much flea dirt is black and gritty, and when you get it wet, it turns the water red. So if you have a dog that you've picked up, maybe a stray who's covered with fleas and has had fleas for a long time, when you give a bath, the water will literally be red. And the reason it's dark black is digested blood comes out black. Stool, if you eat a lot of blood, the stool comes out black. So, I hadn't thought about that, but I bet vampires have black stools. So, so that way you know you got the fleas, but you know there's a lot of fleas somewhere else that are getting onto your animal. So maybe the fleas are in the yard, but maybe they're in your house. So the first and most important thing to do is to know how to use a flea comb and to train your animals to enjoy you flea combing them. And I would start flea combing now. You might not see any fleas even till the middle of the summer. But I would put on a shoe tag and start, or at least start flea combing right now. And you're looking for the flea dirt, and it's usually right above the tail on the body where the tail hooks in. It's right on that top part of the back or around behind the ears and around the neck. Those are the two places you'll usually find the flea dirt. And then on the belly where there's less hair is where you'll see the fleas scurrying around. I wouldn't expect you to get fleas every time you flea comb, but it's one of those things that if you do it on a frequent basis, if your animals go outdoors, then it's your early warning system. Now, animals in the house can get fleas because fleas can hop a ride in on you. So when you see an animal scratching, grab the flea comb, even if it's an indoor cat or an indoor dog, because it is still possible. Now, people think they see flea eggs, but it's only with really, really bad infestations where you see flea eggs. They're little tiny round balls. They're very tiny, and they're white. White and round, and they're so slippery that they just fall right off the animal, unless, again, there's so many of them. Now, the other thing, of course, we all know that fleas, in all their different stages, live forever. They really do. I mean, whether it's 2 years, 5 years, it's more time for them, it's forever. So you do have to always be persistent. So using the flea comb is the first thing. The second most important thing to know is that you have to do, if you find fleas, you need to do everything at one time. So you need to treat the house, the yard, and the animals at the same time. And so we'll get into that. But And always pay attention to building up the overall health. So those are the most important three facts about flea control. Is one, use a flea comb for early detection. Two, get them healthy so they just won't get fleas. And three, if you do have fleas, start with the most gentle and build up to the stronger things and treat the animal, the house, and the yard. Make sense?
Right. So it's a whole plan, and you have to be prepared to spend a lot of time to take care of it all at one time. You have to cover all the bases, otherwise you might leave an area where they can still harbor, you know, and because they do last forever. So that makes sense. If all
now,
any of the
listeners... It doesn't necessarily have to be hard. You just want to be having that principle of treating everything in your mind. So it could be, remember, we start gentle and move up. So it could be as easy as ordering now and having it in your house, either Green Hope Farms Flower Essence Combination called Flea Free, F-L-E-E, Free, or Spirit Essences, Para Out of Sight, or one of the multiple other flower essence companies, combinations to prevent fleas. So let's say, because I use this for so many years, that I have a bottle of flea-free flower essence in my house. Now, that's like a homeopathic remedy in that it's the vibration. Flower essences are vibrational. They're just not as strong and focused and deep acting as homeopathic remedies. But in their right, they are as equally as effective as homeopathic remedies. So you have this essence of keep things away from us. And so you take a few drops and you rub it on your hand and you really work it in. You've seen one flea or two fleas. Okay, with your flea coming. So then you work it in with your hands into your animal, but mostly into the etheric part of the animal. So you're petting the animal. It takes you, a minute. A few drops on your hands, just pet the animal. Then you put maybe four drops into a little spritzer bottle. So that means you need to have some sort of a spray bottle that you've cleaned out from something else or that you've purchased for it. Or you wouldn't have to have a spritzer bottle, but it's easier. And then you walk around the house and you focus on, okay, I don't want any fleas living in this house. And every room you give a spritz and you say, fleas, be gone. And then you step out your back door or front door, whichever one the dogs or cats use the most, or the pet exit, and you spray at that point. And you walk around your yard and you spray. So you're not chemically trying to cover every inch or anything like that. You're treating the energetic principle of let's not have fleas and ticks here. And that's worked 100% for me. It takes me about 5 minutes total. Very easy. Mm-hmm. My cat gets a couple of fleas. I do that. He's done. I don't see any more fleas for two or three months.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I also have a pretty healthy cat. So somebody may try that, and it doesn't work at all. Or maybe it keeps the fleas off the animal, but they're seeing them hopping on them. So then they have to look at their health.
Right, but, okay, but, you know, you've been vigilant for many, many years, so you've been building the immune system and the strength and the relationship and the bond and everything that you have with your animal, and that's why you feel very confident. But some people are there just at the beginning stages, just learning about how to take care.
I know people who are brand new to this. Remember, there's some dogs on commercial food who never get fleas.
Mm-hmm.
And fleas tend to migrate. So when I was in conventional practice and seeing tons of animals, you know, 40 animals a day, I would have one client come in and say, oh, my God, the fleas are the worst they've ever been. And a neighbor of theirs that was, you know, 10 blocks away said, you know, this is the best year. I've never seen any fleas this year. So those dogs were of equal ill health. So it's not a matter of having to work up to this. I know people who've purchased the flea-free, they've used it, and it works brilliantly. And they're new to this. They're not necessarily, their animals could be in various different states of health, and yet it works fine. And then there are others who, like me, have done all sorts of stuff, and the flea-free doesn't work at all. So here's an example from her catalog. I've been using the flea-free with my boxer dog for 2 months. We're not yet in the greatest season for fleas, but the fleas are abundant here all year round. I have not found a flea on him in the past 6 weeks. So she's been using it for 8 weeks, and it took 2 weeks before the fleas went away. And that was in Grapevine, Texas. The others are, because flea-free is good for a lot of other things as well. It's not just bugs, so that was the one for bugs.
I want folks to know, if you are in the chat or you're listening and you have a question, you may call in at 347-945-6956 or click the blue Skype button. And you can ask your questions. Dr. Chambrow is on the line, and I'm sure always happy to answer your questions. We are focusing in on the insect problems, and we're getting so many tips today on how to take care of your animal and what to watch out for, how to be prepared and take precautionary steps before anything manifests, such as combing. I mean, to begin combing now, and you know, you're going to create a good connection to you and your animals, and they're going to feel more comfortable when you approach them with that comb instead of perhaps biting you or being shy or running away. But if they're used to you using that comb, it's going to be great. Also, I think it's wonderful to learn the different visually what you're looking for and what to be on the lookout for.
Absolutely. And if people are listening to this, not at the live show, but are listening to this from the archives, feel free to email me questions. or email questions to Debbie. And if you have other topics you'd like to have discussed, please email them to Debbie or to me. That would be great.
Do you want them to email you at healthyanimals
at AOL.com.
You won't believe how I read it.
Heal thy animals
at AOL.com. It's the same spelling. That is fabulous, Christina. Brilliant.
And I didn't even know that I've had this email since, I don't know when email started, but way back at the beginning. So I'd had it for years, and I was teaching a class in Bowie, Maryland, I think, and a student said, when I put my email up on the board, she said, "Oh, that's pretty cool, heal thy animals." And I went, "Oh, I never saw that."
Yes, that is really cool. So I, you know why you see it? Because if you put the capital T in the middle, then your eye automatically reads it
That's right.
We have possibly a caller. Is there somebody with a 919 area code who's calling in today? If you are on the chat and you're calling in, well, you go ahead and talk, and I will check and see if there's a caller today who has a question.
Okay, great. So, again, the point is you want to start with something gentle. And so you might try the flea free, and you go, wow, that worked really well. Or you might, at this point in time, say, well, I've heard that, so you might want to start putting flea free right into your animal's food if fleas have been a problem in the past. Somebody there?
Yes, we have someone named B who is calling with a question. Go ahead.
Great. Hi, I have had dogs over the years, and our vet, while not homeopathic, he's conservative in the way he treats, and that he doesn't prescribe, and he doesn't over-treat, and he doesn't recommend things that aren't necessary.
So he's not making you vaccinate your dog?
No,
good,
he doesn't care
excellent.
About vaccinations.
Wonderful.
Except, of course, you know, I've had to get the rabies, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, he does recommend, he said the only thing that he does with his dogs and the only thing that he recommends to his patients is a yearly dewormer. Is that going to strengthen the dog or weaken them? And is it necessary?
I don't think a yearly dewormer is a smart thing to do because most dogs don't have worms. And if you're feeding
most dogs do, and I don't know.
No, most dogs do not have parasites.
Okay.
It worms. They don't have internal worms that need a dewormer once a year. And each wormer, each deworming medicine really handles the different parasites. So your dog can get roundworms or hookworms or whipworms or giardia or coccidia or tapeworms. And each one of those are treated differently.
So the powder that he gives me would just treat a whipworm, for example?
Well, I don't know what he gives you. Sorry.
It starts with a P.
Panicure?
Yeah, Panicure.
Right. So Panicure, I think, just does hookworms and hookworms and roundworms.
Okay.
And, again, why would we – this is sort of talking about what I was saying with the fleas and ticks – is let's start with the most gentle and least invasive and then move up to more damaging. Panicure is not that bad, and with puppies and kittens, I say go ahead, do a stool sample, go ahead and use the chemical wormer. But once you have an adult animal who's not vaccinated and on a raw food diet, they shouldn't have any parasites at all. So I would take a stool sample in once a year and have it tested.
He did have it tested, and he said it came back negative, but that
right.
doesn't mean anything.
Well, it is true that even when it's negative, they can have parasites. But my more gentle approach is to, and actually Panicure does do whipworms, and I didn't know that. It says it does tapeworms, but I've not seen that be true. I would start on the more gentle side, and the gentle side, and this is gentle to your dog and to the planet, because Panicure is made in ways that aren't that good for the planet. So I would instead get the flower essence Para Auda sight.
Hmm.
And that's
okay.
from a company called Spirit Essences. You can find that on my website, My Healthy Animals, or you can go directly to their website. And a veterinarian, Dr. Jean Hovey, created these. They're combinations of other flower essences. They've reikied the essences and used really special water. And Jackson Galaxy is now the owner of the company, but she's still the consultant to it. And I have seen Para Out of Sight get rid of dogs who had tapeworms. The owner gave it for a month, and at the end of a month, after giving it once or twice a day for a month, the dog expelled, this was like a 80-pound dog, expelled 2 cups of tapeworms.
Oh.
So it really cleaned that dog out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with others, I've seen it not work. So, it's, again, you start with something like that. I would do that maybe for a week, once a year. There'd be no problem with that. Flower
okay.
essences never harm. You could also feed diatomaceous earth. People do that.
Mm-hmm.
There are also other herbal worming, other herbal things that are used for deworming. And so things like wormwood, so there are a lot of different herbal kinds of treatments for worms, some of which are better than others. There's one called Para-L, which is a combination. There are just simply, probably what I would suggest doing is the Para Out of Sight from Spirit Essences and then do an intense week or two of garlic. Because garlic is a really good anti-parasite.
And do you feel we should do this yearly regardless of symptoms or only when we see symptoms or just
That's really up to you. It's not something I have been recommending in my practice over the last 30 years. Because I basically feel that by feeding a raw food diet, not vaccinating, and treating any symptoms that appear, that we're keeping them so healthy that there won't be any worms. But you're going to a veterinarian who really thinks dogs should be wormed every year. So therefore, rather than doing his worm or panicure, go along with what he says. You've chosen to work with him, so, you know, he may have a good point. I'm not disagreeing with him. It's just not been my experience. So what I would do is, rather than starting with a heavy-duty drug, I would start with a gentle wormer once a year, because then you're sort of following his recommendation. And you can say,
okay.
Yep, I'm doing it.
That's right. Yeah,
but
I had an old dog who passed last year, and I bought it, but I didn't give it to him. I felt it would be too heavy.
Yeah.
But now we have a young dog who's only 3, and she just seems so healthy. I don't feel like it's necessary. But, she does eat. She cleans up after the chickens, and she eats scraps probably out of the compost bin. And
none of that will give parasites.
No?
See, this is the thing, and this is not just to you, but for everybody who's listening to this. Before you take a drug for yourself that a medical doctor tells you to take or that an herbalist tells you to take, or before you give something to your dog or cat because the veterinarian says to do it, you need to understand all about it. So people give heartworm medication, and their veterinarians say, give this heartworm medication once a month. Now, then I ask people who are doing that, and they say, do I need to give it once a month? And I say, well, here, you decide. How do your dogs get heartworms? And they go, oh, I guess by eating stuff out of the compost and being around other dogs. And I go, no, they're transmitted by mosquitoes. And then they say, well, if they're transmitted by mosquitoes, why is my vet making me give it all winter long when I live in Buffalo and we have snow on the ground for 4 months
mm-hmm.
or 6 months out of the year? There are no mosquitoes. And I go, mm-hmm. good for you. Now you know.
Mm-hmm.
So dogs' parasites come from different places. And so you need to understand where the – so here your vet says, give this wormer once a year. And so your next question is, well, where would my dog be getting these worms? So see, before you give a drug that the vet says, you want to ask questions. So where would my dog get the worms? And then you evaluate for yourself, well, is my dog at a high risk of that? And then you say, how does this dewormer work? Well, with heartworms, it's really a morning after pill. It's not a preventative. The mosquito bites a dog, and it dumps the infective larvae come out in the saliva, and then the infective larvae have to find the hole in the dog, and then they crawl through the body for 4 to 6 months before they become adult heartworms. The quote preventative is killing them after they're in the body. So it's really a morning after pill. Mm-hmm. With internal parasites in the gut, you have to look at each parasite differently. So whipworms, hookworms, and roundworms are transmitted in most in adult dogs. They're transmitted by eating other dogs' stool, and the dogs had to have the worms in their intestines. The worms mate and lay eggs. The eggs come out in the stool. So your dog has to be eating the stool of other dogs or eating grass around the area where other dogs were pooping, or cats, depending on. And cats only go to cats and dogs only go to dogs. Now, that's for those three. Now, also, roundworms can make cysts in the body of the dog, of a female dog who's not spayed. And when the dog gets pregnant, the pregnancy hormones activate those inactive cysts of the roundworms. The roundworms migrate through the mother's body until it gets to the uterus, and then they migrate into the uterus. And I got to tell you, I'm not sure of this. I guess, I don't know if they're going through the bloodstream or however, but they go to the baby. So the babies can actually be born with early roundworms. They're not born with adult roundworms that you can test for. So do you see how many different ways there are for the animals to get the worms?
Right.
Tapeworms.
I think the best thing, of course, is just to keep your dog healthy.
And
I think it's similar to humans in that we can have all sorts of internal parasites, and you know, if we keep up with the probiotics or the healthy diet and keep our gut in order, then we can fight off a lot.
And that's it. That's absolutely it. And keep thinking that way. Anytime you have a question, think about, well, how would I do this if this was my child? What would I be thinking? What questions would I ask? Because what you said is absolutely right.
Okay, thank you so much for the advice.
Absolutely.
Thanks for calling in.
Check out my website. Go to, because I've got some articles there. Check out the Homeopathy World Community website. Look for me with my hat on my head and click on that, and you can download the prior talks that we've done.
Oh, thanks. I don't think I've heard them.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your help.
You're welcome. Well, now, Debbie, we have just a minute or two, right?
Yes.
Before we start on cardiology.
Well, we're not going to do cardiology today. I'm going to talk, and I want to thank everyone for listening. We've got a lot more things to learn together. The handout for today's program is uploaded to the website, and if you refresh your page, you will see a link that takes you directly to it where you can learn a lot more that we did not have the time to cover today. I want to thank all of our listeners out there, Judy and Kavi and Kui and the guests who have not put their name. If you register, you will be able to get your name in there and just chat. Thanks for your love, everybody. We're catching it over here, and it's springtime. It's green in your lawns, and you've gotten some hints on how to keep the insects out in the places where you're going to be sitting and having your dogs and cats run around. You can't take care of your neighbor's yards, but you can inform them of what you're doing, and that's another way of spreading good information. So we're going to be back in a month, is that right, Christine?
Yes, it sort of depends. We're trying to get a class going in Vancouver, British Columbia, 3 weeks of classes on homeopathy from the 11th to the 25th of May. So we'll know in about a week if we've gotten enough people enrolled in that course to have it happen. And if not, I'll definitely be able to do the show. If it is, we'll have to tweak the time of it. But,
yeah, we might adjust
so
it.
So we'll know in about a week when the next one's going to be.
Okay, and then do you have something coming out in June 15th? Is that the Carroll County Kennel Club Summer Expo?
Yep, in June 15th, for anybody who lives near Westminster, Maryland, which is near Washington, Fredericksburg, Maryland, and Baltimore, Maryland. It's within an hour of all those places, and it's going to be an all-day expo and classes sponsored by the Carroll County Kennel Club, and we'll have a booth of the Animal Reiki Alliance, and we'll be talking about flower essences, nutrition, acupressure, Reiki, probably animal communication, and many other topics. And
that's
then
a
I'll
hot
be,
topic today, animal communication.
Is, oh, great. Yep.
And then June, you have Baltimore, the whole
June 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
June
yep.
22nd in the afternoon, we'll have a three-hour talk, which is in downtown Baltimore in an area called Hamden. So check out the...
I have it all on the Homeopathy
Great,
World Community. It's in the article that says, what are the remedies to prepare for tick and flea season? And that is a link on the front page or on the side. You do see Christina with her sunbonnet on. I love it. Okay.
Okie dokie. Thank you so much, Debbie, for organizing this and continuing faithfully to put incredible time into this. I, the animals and people do thank you very much. We all
You're
need
welcome.
To be working to have a healthier planet and people and animals.
I appreciate your time. And I'm going to play a little bit of music and see if you can catch what it's saying. Let me you'll tell me if you hear the sound.
Okay.
Hold on a second. I have to put the sound onto the thing here. Do you hear anything playing? Oh, here it is. Maybe not.
I can hear the music. I can hear the music, but not really the words.
You don't hear it, huh?
I can hear the music, but not the words.
Okay.
Not clearly enough.
Okay, I think I'm going to turn it off. That was an experiment in sound.
Okay.
It's singing, my dog has fleas.
Ah!
Okay.
That's great. I love it.
I'll try a better time next time. But in the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and do the second hour today talking about some important things that are happening in our world and things that you can find on Homeopathy World Community or on our Facebook page. I try and put up pertinent information, action items, things that are happening in the news, things that are affecting us. The first thing is, if you missed the Health In Show last Monday, it is archived. It was about healing energy, inspiration, motivation, and we talked about things, quotes that we put into our mind to create those positive energies, considering the fact that our world, the media is filled with disastrous information and too many violent things today. I feel that there is this battle, this shift that's happening in the world, and everybody can probably feel it, but they need to help support this shift, this movement into the new era with their energy. And I know, Christina, you are really into this. You
yep.
are the most spiritual person I know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so please listen and look at that show. I did it with Amy Page. You'll find the link on the front page of Homeopathy World Community. And tomorrow, Alan Phillips will be back at 1 p.m. Eastern Time talking about vaccines and your rights. Again, hot topic, lots of news, lots of controversy, things that are happening legislatively in order to remove individual freedoms at a time when we are all iPod, iPhone, I this and I that, the me generation, we are losing our rights. And maybe that's why we're shouting so loud to be an individual, to let our uniqueness shine through. So it's going to be a really great show with him. I also want to let you know that I put up a couple of new articles on Homeopathy World Community. One of them is called Six Words, You're in Six Words, Write Your Vision for the Future of Medicine. Can you condense your thoughts about today's medical system and what your vision for the future of medicine is into six words? Well, if you've ever heard of a Wordle, where it's like a graphic symbol typography of words and it's an image. So this is something that is TEDMED, which convenes this week, April 18th, at the Kennedy Center, I believe it's in New York City, is going to be talking about this topic. And they've asked all of the participants if they would do something about putting their vision into six words and thinking of it as maybe as an intention. I'll read a couple of the ones that have been placed out there. People living longer in full health, that's six words. Breakthrough business models driving better health. Prevention is better than a cure. I love that one. It could go for anybody, pets or animals. Affordable preventative care promoting individual responsibility. And another one, human networks, collaborative discovery, thoughtful personalization. And the last one is greater understanding and impact through communication. And I wrote one for myself, which was, you can jumble up these six words in any order that you please. My words are healing, force, freedom, health, vital, homeopathy. Or you could do it in the reverse. Homeopathy, vital health, freedom, force, healing. So that's kind of fun, a fun little game. Then we have,
I just wanted to make a comment because I pulled it up on the website. It was April 16th, so it's already started, through the 19th, and it's at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. And if you go to tedmed.com, you can read about the event and probably get proceedings and stuff like that down the line. And they've sold out all the tickets to the general public, but they do have a waiting list, so that's good too.
And I imagine they might be live streaming some of the broadcasts so that we can participate remotely.
I bet they are. I don't see it right here, but go to tedmed.com. And mine, just off the very top of my head, I'm not sure I can get it to six words without thinking about it, would be live lightly, think healthy thoughts. That's five words. So live
That's
lightly,
five.
Think healthy thoughts.
We need one more word.
Well,
let's see.
Live lightly, think healthily for all.
Healthily. Okay, is that a word? Okay.
That was
okay,
fun.
Great. That was fun. Okay, and anybody else that wants to give us their thoughts, I'm sure on Homeopathy World Community Facebook, we have the same post and you can put it out there. The other thing that I wanted to say about this particular thing is Dr. Mujal Thakkar has told us that TEDMED Live, The Other Song, is happening in India in collaboration with the TEDMED Kennedy Center. And he's glad to tell us that it is Dr. Rajan Sankaran will be the first homeopath to speak at the TEDMED Forum. Their talks will be online for a few months after the actual event in April 21, 2013. So I'm going to try and get the brochure for that. The TEDMED Live, The Other Song, And I don't know whether it's easy to find it, but we will get it for you. Okay, if you just put it into your search engine, I'm sure it'll be easy to find. The other things that are going on, there's always skeptics, there's always attacks, and there's always controversy regarding homeopathy and alternative medicine in general. They try to put spin on it. So the latest thing that I just read in The Guardian was concerning the contagious disease and pressuring the agencies in UK, which is called the, I'm trying to think of the British, it's the Guardian that puts the British Homeopathic Association into this awkward position of negating what we learned from Hahnemann about homeopathy addressing contagious disease as opposed to the way vaccines working. And remember, everything that we talk about on Blog Talk Radio, on Homeopathy World Community, or any of our venues, it's always educational. It's always creating awareness. This is not telling you, prescribing, diagnosing, or giving you medical advice. This is giving you waves of awareness and education. So that's why you should be able to freely obtain this information just about anywhere on the internet. I'm going to talk a little bit about loss of freedoms, but let me finish up with this article called Parents Need to Know Homeopathy Does Not Protect Against Measles, says MP, written by Sarah Bosley, the health editor of The Guardian. The problem being, and we do have a caller that has called in. If you wanted to talk to us, let us know. Or if you're just listening, I think you need to click one on your phone if you're interested in having a comment or question or telling your story with us today. So what I was going over was this information that's really attacking a very deep-seated level of human consciousness, and that is our belief system. If we as parents have had experience with both vaccines, with disease and illness in our children, or with using alternative practices, all of the things that Christina has just talked to us about preparing our environment, preventative medicine, preventative actions, just even simply combing your pet or spraying a flower essence into the air or around yourself or the animal, or meditation, or many other things that you can use as preventative measures and as medicines. We consider them healing energies and healing methods of taking care of your immune system. So they're really attacking at us at that level, where they have to say some parents have an unshakable belief that homeopathy boosts their child's immune system. They would rather put their faith in natural methods. And basically, they want to correlate using homeopathy or these natural methods with a faith-based system, which would be religion. They're trying to say this is a religion, this is not science, and pitting one against the other, whereas we know that this is over a 200-year-old system of medicine that has been documented and proven to work. And we had some comment in this particular article. You can see it on the front page, linked on the front page of Homeopathy World Community. Sue Young, a homeopathic historian and homeopath herself, has written hundreds and hundreds of historical articles documenting the lives of homeopaths and their careers and what they have given as gifts to the homeopathic community and to the world. So she's listed about 10 or so links to actual real life, they're not even experiments, they are actual case studies of the use of homeopathic remedies in different countries around the world. One of the biggest ones that we know is the Cuban introduction of using homeopathic remedies against leptospirosis in Cuba, November 8, 2010, with the authority of Isaac Golden and Gustavo Praco, and many other times. The entire government, the Cuban government, has instituted this as a policy because they know it works, and they've saved thousands of lives with the use of these remedies. So as a preventative for a contagious disease to 2.4 million people following a seasonal, you know, contagious diseases come in cycles, come seasonally, and to go ahead and get, let's say, a flu vaccine now or throughout the year when it has not been tested thoroughly, or they're using a viral load of medicines in there that are not targeted to the specific strain of virus that is going around in that particular season, really makes no sense. And we want to institute critical thinking. We want to waken you up to what you're putting in your body and what is the best mode of putting it in your body. Do you want to do it gently and naturally the way the Creator did want you to take these energies into your system through your mucous membranes, through inhalation, through touching on the skin, through the air? Or did God want you to take a needle, put these toxins in it, and put it into your body? So what do you think is going to cause more harm, and what is going to cause more good? Because if it is there for a reason, perhaps to strengthen your immune system, if you take the precautionary steps of eating properly, resting properly, being in a community, a loving community, improving the family relationship, reducing fears, reducing stress, so that you're less susceptible, your immune system is less susceptible to the impacts of these germs, so that your immune system is stronger to overcome it, using lots of fluids, people talk about using garlic and lemon and ginger and quinine and all of those things, whatever it is that has been time-tested to really work. So I want you to really think about that. The article is really an attack on homeopathy and natural medicines. And if you have any questions about that, we welcome it on the Blog Talk Radio show. We welcome it on Homeopathy World Community, if you're a member, or on our Facebook page, which is open to the world. That Facebook page is open. It is facebook.com/homeopathyworldcommunity. We now have...
And Debbie?
Seven, yes.
I just have one comment on that also, is to remember that, again, that everybody's an individual, and some things are going to work for one but not for another, and then you just move on to trying something different.
Very
good. So it's important to always use the most gentle approach. And when you talk about, you know, as you do so much on this show, how the government is trying to rule things and to deprive us of our choices in multiple areas, in the old days, centuries ago, many people were healed brilliantly with backyard herbs. So by learning about homeopathy, how to prepare your own remedies, and raising potted plants or plants in your garden, you can work with other people in your neighborhood. We don't have to be at the effect of the government in a lot of ways. There's some things we don't have a choice about, like when they do contrails up in the air, but we do have choices. We can have an analog electric meter instead of a smart meter. We can raise in our backyard what we need to keep ourselves healthy. So we do want to have the government be how we want it to be, but we don't have to be at the effect of the government.
Right. And in that vein, I wanted to mention on Natural News, Alan Phillips has put in a brand new article And if I can find that for you, then I'll let you know what it is. It's about legislation. It's naturalnews.com. And if you put in vaccines, legislation, police, state. So you can see how it is going that he has listed the current vaccine bills throughout the United States. Right now it lists from 1 to 6 vaccine bills in each of the 30-plus states. Most of these bills, if passed into law, will further expand an already out-of-control pharmaceutical vaccine agenda that seeks to require more vaccines for more people while further restricting our right to refuse them. And, you know, he is the national expert in waivers and exemptions and has had so many hundreds of cases on helping people in all different arenas, whether they're in a nurse or a physician in the hospital setting or a healthcare setting that is being forced to take an injection when they believe it's not going to be helpful to them. How do you state your rights and stand up for your rights without being kicked out of your position or dismissed or ridiculed? So you can join NVICAdvocacy.org. That's www.NVICAdvocacy.org to learn about what's happening in your state if you're in the United States and take part in that. And I'm going to put that link there onto the chat for those who are interested. So what else do we want to talk about today? I want to let you know that there are plenty of wonderful, wonderful homeopaths on Homeopathy World Community who have posted either a cured case, you can learn different methods that they take their case, or philosophy or theory. We have one by Dr. Harishchandra Shukla, Appraisal of Shortcomings, Mistakes, and Inconsistencies Existing in the Organon. So that seems to be pretty interesting one to look at. And we have so many different categories in Homeopathy World Community that you can look at, even recipes. I've put recipes in there, and a lot about epidemics and how this one is kind of humorous, I must say. It's called The Epidemic of Motivational Deficiency Disorder. I don't know if anybody's heard about that. It was posted in the PLOS Medicine Journal. There's a whole article about it with a journal picture. And 1 in 5 people suffer from MODED, it's called, discovered in Australia. An acute attack when they will die because they don't want to get out of bed and they want to relax on the beach. They're lazy, kind of like sulfur types, but in actuality, they have a mental disorder. Oh my gosh. I mean, this is what's going on in our world today. Everything is labeled. It says, in the British Medical Journal, quote, extreme laziness may have a medical basis, says a group of high-profile Australian scientists describing a new condition called motivational deficiency disorder, nicknamed MODED. The condition is claimed to affect up to 1 in 5 Australians and is characterized by overwhelming and debilitating apathy, unquote. Now, I must tell you that really, in truth, our world is in a very state of confusion and chaos, a lot of violence, a lot of depression. People are on drugs. They're sad. They're tempted to suicide. If you're bullied, I cannot tell you the number of young people who are committing suicide because of bullying and domination today by perpetrators who are doing this. And I'm going to talk about something else I'm going to lead into, but I want you to know that you could read this entire paper and think that it is real because of the way that the medical community now labels mental disorders. But this is actually, and you don't even know it until you get to the end, it's a spoof. This is just a spoof to get you to realize what's going on, wake you up, you know, see what's going on in the world. What do you think about that, Christine? Are you still with me?
I am, and I just pulled it up, and it said 1 out of 5 people suffer from it, but I didn't get to the point where it says it's a spoof.
because it sounds so real, and yeah, it was posted by neurologist Les Argos and a team at the University of Newcastle, and you know, Australia is really the hotbed of controversy regarding vaccines and natural health care, alternative health. I guess he just felt this was the best way to get the information out, that it's gone over the wire. It's crazy.
It's weird.
Isn't that something?
And, of course,
so, okay,
that just reminds me that, again, this show and all the different talks on it are... We can't fix everybody. Abraham, in Abraham, who channels through Esther Hicks, the Law of Attraction books, he says you can't make yourself sick enough to make somebody else well. You can't make yourself sad enough to make somebody else happy. We know as passionate homeopaths that often members of our family won't have anything to do with it. Friends of ours who are dying won't try homeopathy, and that could be frustrating. We hear about children committing suicide and go, gosh, if I could only get a homeopath in that classroom. Or someone else would say it's because of the Wi-Fi that got put in that school. If we just get rid of the Wi-Fi, they'll stop committing suicide. People will do what they do. People are on their path. And what's so important about what Debbie does and what each one of us does is that we're putting the word out so people see some alternatives. When people know there is a different way, they might not do it, but at least somewhere in them is this germ of hope that, you know, maybe there's a way out of this. So it's a matter of doing our best individually, letting people know what's available, and not getting too upset when bad stuff happens.
Thank you. I'm going to direct you also to this is on Facebook, Homeopathy World Community. There's a little cartoon image, and I'm going to describe it, see if you can picture it in your mind. It's a picture of the underground where people have mines, and they do mine work where they're digging with pitchforks. Did you see it already?
No, I'm just listening to you. It sounds great.
Okay, so you see the background, and it's like a sectional view of one tunnel. The guy on top, one tunnel, is halfway through the tunnel, and he's moving at a quick pace, and he's digging away as if chipping away and making the tunnel to the goal, to the gems, the diamonds. And the guy on there's another tunnel of another gentleman who's down below him, and he has his pitchfork on his back. He has finished for the day. He has given up, and he's kind of looks dejected and bent over as he walks away, and you see the edge of his tunnel. Now, the guy on the top tunnel is halfway through, and he's moving with full force. The guy on the bottom is that dejected, sad person. He must have that disease that we just talked about. And he's walking away from further work. He's lost his vision, and he's an inch away, one more pitchfork with the hit with the knife, and he would have chipped away the stones and reached the diamonds would have started pouring out. So the caption says, "You never know how close you are. Never give up on your dreams." And it was just so beautifully depicted there. It's the cartoonist, I can't even read. It looks like D-L or D-U-M. I'm not sure what it is. But you can see it, and hopefully we'll find to be able to give the attribution of whose work that was. It was pretty cool.
That's great.
Okay, so now I'm going to move over to another topic. It's called Stewards of Children, Darkness to Light. Because I'm just getting so much information out there about the violence in the world, the rapes, the harshness to females and males, both men and women, no matter where you live, whatever continent, whatever country, whatever status that you are living on, there are things happening in the world, and we can be those responsible for prevention. And it's called Stewards of Children. There's a green button on the front page of Homeopathy World Community, Darkness to Light. And our community needs your support to help become an affiliate partner with this international organization that educates adults how to recognize and protect children from sexual abuse. You can imagine the chain of events that occurs when a child from infancy all the way, mostly up to age 18, is the majority of those people who have been affected initially. What happens to that individual? And this is a trauma event. This World Homeopathy Awareness Week is all about trauma, and this is a form of trauma. It doesn't have to be an earthquake or a bomb or a war, but it is something that happens to each individual on a personal basis, and these people typically do not speak about the horror that has occurred to them for at least a year, and maybe much, much longer. So this program is one that educates adults to learn about the signs and signals that a child might be in an abusive situation, whether it be in a home, in a school, in a playground, just about anywhere that a child, even a babysitter, you know, you never know who it is unless you have a background check. One of the prime things that we will learn as people who take this class is that you never leave a child in a one-on-one situation with one other adult unless you know for absolute sure they are completely trustworthy. That
but you
have
never
done
know that.
Yeah, that's so there are a lot of different things that you can do, because many of those people, they're called groomers. They groom the family and they groom the child to be their victim. It's a very, very sad thing. But we can learn all about this and how to care for your child, your child's friend, your neighbor, or somebody in your church. And these things can happen literally anywhere, whether it is in a community center or a church or with a clergy or with a business partner or even at school, the caretakers at school. You don't know who it could be. So I'm asking that people out there would help this program, help Homeopathy World Community to train one of the affiliates, that would be me, to be a provider. And then what I can do is create a webinar or a local event and give the talk, give the 2.5-hour educational talk so that people can be enlightened and become responsible adults and know what steps to take. And it is not something that the listeners will become healers. No, it's not healing. It's education, preventative awareness. And that's the first step. We have to take the very first step. So there is a little give button that I've put up there for $10, $20, $30, $40, or $50 to support this program. It costs $400 just for the one full day of facilitation training. There is a cost for materials. And then the person, which would be me, would volunteer my own time to do programs for the community. That means anybody could listen in and learn. So that's one thing that I hope I'm putting my intention on this year, if anybody's out there.
That's wonderful. That makes a big difference.
Thank you so much.
It's so important that each one of us take on things like that. Like I paid the money to become a trained facilitator to give the Awakening the Dreamer, Changing the Dream Symposium to have us look at our planet in different ways. So it's so important. I'm so glad you're taking that one on. Thanks.
Yes, and you know what? This I can tell you the story. You never know how things are going to happen in your life. Total surprise to me that one of my friends who's been doing this for years, she probably gives 4 or more of these presentations voluntarily to the community every month. And she said, "Debbie, I'm giving a program. You want to come and visit? Want to join me?" So I said, "Okay, sure." She was my friend. I had no idea what it was about. I said, "Sure, I'll just go with you." So I had to get up at 7 in the morning, be at her door, and ready to go. I'm not an early bird. So I went to the program. It impressed me so greatly that I made the move to want to become a facilitator and to let other people know adults can be responsible and make a difference on the planet. Can you imagine, even to save the life of one child from becoming an alcoholic, a drug abuser, an addiction, going into a cult, a loss of self-esteem, loss of self-confidence, being unable to create good relationships with partners, continuing the chain of abuse and victimization just because of an incident that was not prevented. And in the program, you do get to hear the stories and lives of survivors. It is a really positive and hopeful program, even though it is on a very heavy topic. So I wanted to let folks know about that. So if you want to support me, please click that button and give a donation. I want to thank the people like Kavitha and Dr. Rafiq who have already donated. So what else do I want to tell you today? If you go to Homeopathy World Community on the Facebook page, there are a bunch of different articles that are active advocacy things. One that I have not put up yet is the one written by Meryl Dorey. She has an article on HPathy eZine from March about the Australian homeopath who is being taken to court. And that might be one of our friends, Fran Sheffield. She's being taken to court by the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, ACCC, for having the temerity to upload a page on her business website called Homeopathy Plus, referencing studies which indicate that the whooping cough vaccine could be less effective than we've been told. To make matters even worse, this page also states that people might want to investigate the homeopathic option for disease prevention. So, basically, we are being censored. Our web pages are being censored. Our ability to voice our opinions or provide information, just basic information, is being censored. So make no mistake, the action by the ACCC could be seen by some as an attempt by a government department to suppress debate on the vaccination issue. It might also be the first step in restricting the practice of homeopathy in Australia, especially when considering this action in combination with the current inquiry into natural therapies in Australia. So now you can see why that spoof coming out of Australia is so important. If this case were to be lost in the federal court, the results could be disastrous for all of us, for everyone, not just those people who are living in Australia. But it could be disastrous for the world population to free access to information that would open your eyes to actual data. The data is really out there, but the people who are advocates and want people to be critical thinkers, those are the people that they're trying to eliminate from voicing and standing up on their podium. There is a potential for a precedent to be set whereby the federal government could use a negative decision as a bludgeoning tool to prevent the AVN, health professionals, or anyone else from openly discussing information critical of current vaccination policies. And that could go for anybody, a chiropractor, an acupuncturist, a naturopath, an herbalist.
And a veterinarian.
So this
is
something
that apply to us.
We can really get behind this. The internet and the media could be censored further, and the people could be left with no option but to use mainstream medical doctors and drug-based therapies, even if it would not be their normal first choice. And I absolutely have to write a large article about the WOT. The WOT is a supposed, it's really fake, but it's real. It's a way to censor websites by putting a great big red do not enter warning danger sign. So every time you click on the URL to open a perfectly innocent website, even like Narayana Publishing House, the first thing that you get is this great big warning sign that blocks you from entering the website. And they have put that on pages where I've simply written a beautiful poem or a meditation. They downgrade it. And unfortunately, Google and Facebook are now in collaboration with this WOT. And it would behoove you, if you are a listener out there, to become a member of WOT. And when you see the little red block sign warning danger, go click it and re-put your rating in. Rate it at 100% all the way down the line. Let me see if I go there now. If I go to what? Let me see. I have to find it. It's called mywatt.com, www.mywatt.com. And when you go there, you will be able to see and register for the different things. And I'm not going to log in there right now, but it's called Web of Trust, which is totally untrustworthy. It is biased. They have people who are spending their entire day, somebody must pay them to spend 24 hours a day to downgrade all of the alternative health websites. So that's what's happening covertly if you did not know about it. So you want to become a part of it and start clicking the green, yes, this is a safe place to go. Did you know about that, Christina?
I did not.
Well,
it's
true. And I will highlight that my wonderful friend who is the owner of Gaia Health, Heidi Stevenson, has created her own website called www.whatsucks.com. And if you sign up there, you can kind of tell your story about what is going on with this program and why it is the web of distrust instead of the web of trust. So there you go. I'm going to have to write my article one of these days. So now back to advocacy. I was just telling you about this Australian court case. You can support Fran Sheffield, and she needs all the support that she can get because it's going to be multi-thousands of dollars in this court case. I want you to let you know that Ms. Sheffield was first contacted by the ACCC because she had an article on her website which discussed the failure of the whooping cough vaccine to prevent an outbreak of whooping cough that had been ranging through highly vaccinated populations worldwide. So it's not the unvaccinated who are susceptible. It is the vaccinated. You know, the more we vaccinate, the more the virus strains will mutate, the more they will not be able to be counteracted with medications. She also provided information on homeopathic treatment and prevention. The ACCC said that she needed to remove the article or face potential prosecution. At that time, Fran told the ACCC she would remove the article to fact check it, but she found it to be correct and it would go back online. She's a very, very brave woman. Her contact told her that they would be watching, and if the same or similar claims were reinstated, legal proceedings would commence. The article was checked. It was factual. They returned to the website with a slightly revised version. And I want to tell you that she uploaded it to an area of her website that is private. for members only, not public. And can you imagine somebody knocking on your front door and saying, opening it up and pushing their way in and saying, you have something in your home that we don't want you to have? And that's exactly like what happened to her on her website. So in contravention to the terms and conditions of homeopathyplus.com website, which they signed and agreed to, the ACCC entered the members area. So the ACC went into her private members area, copied and removed the revised articles, and laid charges against Fram, her husband, and her website, Homeopathy Plus. Just imagine if this were to happen to each and every one of us, to anyone who is in an alternative health practitioner or provider of information or products or services, and it's like a police state. The information.
Well, it's the same thing as what happens with Monsanto, and farmers who are planting organic corn are arrested by Monsanto for planting their corn, even though they never planted their corn, but the pollen blows in the air and lands on this organic farmer's field. And then Monsanto says, you planted our GMO corn, and they take them to court. So it happens in many different ways.
It's almost like a setup. It's like when, they want to do a plant and they see drugs on a perfectly innocent people just to make them a criminal.
Absolutely.
You can make that an analogy. And in the same way, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to intimidate so many people. And if you don't have the resources, if you don't have the backing, if you don't have the funds for a multi-million dollar court case, what are you going to do?
That's right.
I mean, and this is the situation the way it is right now. So where can you give your support? And I'm going to give you the article link, which is on hpathy.com, Natural Health News, Australian homeopath taken to court. It's they're asking $50 from everyone to add up to the $30,000 that she needs right now. There are at least 600 homeopaths in Australia. They're asking if every chiropractor, naturopath, osteopath, Bowen therapist, Chinese herbalist, and the list goes on, could donate a little bit to help out. And you can go to Fran Sheffield at homeopathyplus.com.au because she's in Australia. Fran Sheffield, FranSheffield. IELD, Fran Sheffield with the double F in there, at homeopathyplus.com.au. You can deposit funds into the designated account, and be sure to email Ms. Sheffield at Fran Sheffield at homeopathyplus.com.au to let her know about the payment. And this is going to be something in the news that we need to keep an eye on, even though this was written originally mid-March. I'm sure these cases linger for a long time. Now, I want to thank everyone out there who has been hanging in, listening to the show. I appreciate it so much, and sending waves of awareness, lots of love and positive energy, because we do need it. Remember to breathe, and remember to just write some kind of an intention for yourself of what you want to accomplish today. Use lipstick, put it on the mirror in your bathroom, or take out an index card and paste it up on a door, a cupboard in your kitchen, wherever you're going to be. Put it on the stair, on one of the stairs as you're walking up and down. It will give you an idea of something that you wanted to have in your mind to keep you positive. Any other place, you could stick a note in your pocketbook. You could wear a string on your wrist, or something that will remind you of your intent, your positive intentions. One of the things that I put quotes I put from Bobby McLeod, who was living from 1947 to May 2009. He was an Aboriginal activist, poet, healer, musician, and Yowin elder. He was involved in the fight for Aboriginal rights in Australia, another Australian. He traveled the world speaking about culture, lore, health, and healing. He says, when the earth is sick and polluted, human health is impossible. To heal ourselves, we must heal our planet. And to heal our planet, we must heal ourselves. So start with one, start with you. It is a circle. It's like that snake, I know there's a word for it, and I can't think of it right now, but you can see it. The snake eating the other snake's tail, it's a cycle, it's a circle. One affects the other. So that is for you some kind of a positive thought. And don't forget to take action. There are a lot of action items that you can do on the Facebook page, and I'm going to see if I can find that right here. You've got an article, an incredible article by Jane Donegan, MBBS, Doctor of COGDCH, DFFP, MRCGP. There, she's got a lot of initials next to her name. She's a UK doctor of medicine practicing in England with an interest in vaccinations stemming from her own concern for her child and adult health safety issues. And this is really how most women get involved in it. We are very spiritual. We are connected to the planet. We are connected to spirit. And she said, quote, I vaccinated both my children with the MMR jab, but this was before I started my research into the problems associated with it. Knowing what I know now, I would not vaccinate my children and run the risk of them getting diabetes, asthma, eczema, becoming more susceptible to meningitis, and ending up chronically disabled. She has an incredible website, a web page that you can visit. Just look up Jane Donegan. That's J-A-Y-N-E, D-O-N-E-G-A-N. And for some reason, my posting doesn't have a link to her website, but she has written innumerable articles, very thorough, very clear, with a lot of statistics and information. She is a brave woman, one of the whistleblowers that are targeted on a daily basis. Okay, we have 7 minutes left to our show today. If anybody wants to call in with some positive energy,
I've got some more positive energy for you.
Okay, and there is a caller. Hello, caller.
Yes, hello. Hi, I've been patiently waiting. Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we can
hear
you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hold on a minute. For some reason,
can
I'm having...
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Yes, we
hello.
Hear the caller.
Okay. Yeah, I've been waiting. I probably pressed 1-6 times. Okay. There are several comments and questions I have for both you, Debbie, and Dr. Shimbro. first of all, question-wise, I just took in a feral puppy and have been told by the health animal control here that I'm required to have her vaccinated. Also, they came to take a dead possum and gave me a fine because I didn't have my other dog vaccinated. So I'm very conflicted about this whole situation, and I don't know if there's any way to dispute this. I'm in California. And so I was contacted a homeopathic veterinarian online. He said that at the very most I should give this feral puppy a parvo and distemper vaccine just once when she's 12 weeks old. What's your take on this whole situation? And if I do have to vaccinate the puppy with a rabies vaccine, and there are any signs of vaccinosis, do you give Lisin or do you just give Thuja or some other remedy that would counteract the vaccinosis? That's the first question.
So first I'm going to address the last question, which was in homeopathy, it's always like cures like. So we don't ever give a remedy for a problem to every dog. So if there's a reaction to a vaccine, you find the similimum. You find the remedy that matches that problem. And you use the rubric mind, hydrophobia, and the and generalities, vaccine, ailment, sense. So you use those rubrics, but you individualize the remedy. Okay. Number two is the only thing that is legally.
May I just ask you about that thing?
Okay.
Under the rubric, under the remedy description of hydrophobia, there are. It appears that my other dog that I ended up having to vaccinate with the rabies vaccine has all the symptoms of Lisin, the fear of water, the extreme aggressiveness, et cetera. So can you ever give Lisin after having given them the rabies vaccine?
Of course.
Vaccine,
or Lisin is a homeopathic remedy. It's appropriate ten days after, 50 days after, 5 years after.
Okay.
Absolutely. Treat animals like children.
Okay.
You prescribe the same way. You do it the same way. Absolutely.
Okay. Now I'll listen to the next part. Okay, go ahead.
Now I've forgotten what we were talking about. The other vaccines are not required. I would recommend that rabies is legally required, for sure, but there are many things you can do to have the rabies vaccine not cause as much damage, which is, number one, to build up the overall health, feed a raw food diet, treat any little of the early warning symptoms that are there. Look at the list of early warning signs of internal imbalance that are at the Academy of Veterinary Homeopathy website and at my website and on Homeopathy World Community. Because we've talked about that in lectures, and then get spirit essences. It's a combination flower essence called Vaccine Detox, and you give that before and after any vaccines that are given, and that helps. Totally safe, and flower essences can be given, aren't individualized as much as remedies, so every dog getting vaccine can get the Vaccine Detox. Also learn Reiki. Reiki the syringe before a vaccine is given, Reiki the injection site, and then offer Reiki for as long as the animal needs it. If people are have tried other approaches, there are many other Reiki-type healings. I don't say it has to be Reiki. So if you're trained in quantum touch or reconnective therapy, anything that has that ability to shift the vibrational frequency of something. So that's how you can make things safer. And, of course, it says on the package insert that vaccines are for use in healthy animals only. So if your puppy, until your puppy has recovered and is healthy, then you actually are going against, you can use this as an excuse, that you're going against manufacturer's recommendations.
I got it. Okay. So the other question is, I've heard you speak before in this radio program, and you just mentioned something about your website listing imbalances. So the most critical thing that I think a homeopath that's not as experienced with veterinary issues as you are must take into account is what's normal for a feral puppy and what's not. How much aggressiveness in a feral puppy is normal, and in terms of playing very aggressively with toys and biting and nipping, et cetera, how much of that is normal and how much of that is something that should be treated?
Whether it's a feral puppy or not a feral puppy, it could be a feral puppy, a foster, or a purebred, that is certainly a very valid question because that's true in children as well. So if you look at a playground full of kids, is that one over the edge needing a remedy or because it's weeping too much or too sensitive or too aggressive? That's always a question we have to ask in homeopathy, and there is no one right answer to that. So one of the things I was going to suggest for you, you called a homeopathic, or you talked online to a homeopathic.
Can I interrupt just for a moment?
Yep.
We have completed 2 hours of broadcasting, and that's all the time that we have on Blog Talk Radio for today. So please contact me at homeopathyworldcommunity@gmail.com. Send me your information. We'll get you on the show another time with all of your fabulous questions. The problem was that I never saw that you were on hold to speak. For some reason, the dashboard wasn't working until the last 5 minutes for your call. So did I catch your name?
Okay.
You're in California?
I'm Helene. Helene. I'm in California.
My quick thing, Helene, was that you find a homeopathic vet or a holistic vet who's near you to work with. There's so many in that area, and that gives you that extra coaching that you so appropriately realize you need.
Thank you. Okay,
thanks so much for calling, and we do appreciate all of those people who are on the chat, who are listening in, who are listening to the archive, who do take the time to share their experience or their questions and call into us. We will even take your questions and make an entire show about it in the future. So we're going to end today. Lots of waves of awareness. If you're going to Reston, Virginia, there's going to be the big 8th annual Joint Homeopathic Conference there beginning Friday of this week. So thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Pet Health and Homeopathy on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio with homeopaths Debbie Brock and Dr. Christina Chambreau. We encourage you to follow our show, click the reminder button to receive email notices when show airs, share with friends on Facebook and Twitter, and send in your comments and questions. See you next time!